Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, February 9th, 2017. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Zimmerman Challenges Identification Search Warrants, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. The identification of Kirk Zimmerman as the man seen leaving his ex-wife's office building the night of her murder is unreliable and should be kept from a jury, according to arguments by his lawyer. In more than 200 pages of court filings, the defense and the state offer opposing positions to efforts by Zimmerman to block a jury's view of his statements, evidence from internet and phone records, and his identification by a witness. An anonymous tip to the McLean County Sheriff's Department led Bloomington police to track down Maria Legg in March 2016, a year and 4 months after Pam Zimmerman was found dead in her Bloomington office. Legg picked Kirk Zimmerman, 58, from several suspects depicted in a photo lineup displayed to Legg on a computer brought to her home by police. In his motion to suppress the identification, defense lawyer John Rogers argues that the use of Zimmerman's booking photos that had been widely circulated by the media after his July 2015 arrest in the photo lineup was improper. According to the motion, Legg saw a man leaving the building in the 2100 block of East Washington Street where Pam Zimmerman had an office as a financial consultant. Legg was dropping off recyclables in the parking lot nearby at St. Luke's Church. Legg told police a man matching Zimmerman's description was carrying a black garbage bag that he put into the trunk of a black car. Frightened by the encounter, Legg did not tell her husband until the following day after she read a Pantograph story about Zimmerman's death, states the defense motion. Legg told detectives she asked her husband repeatedly to take her to the police, but he refused because someone could come and kill her, Maria, for getting involved, Rogers said in the court filing. Legg reportedly shared her experience near the crime scene with several friends, who may be called to testify at Zimmerman's trial. In its response to the defense motion, the state defends the photo lineup process. The routine practice of having an officer assist with the photo lineup was not possible because nearly every BPD officer had worked on the murder case, according to prosecutors. Legg's husband, Charles Legg, helped his wife navigate the program on the laptop computer set up in the couple's garage, states the defense motion. Legg's identification places Zimmerman outside his ex-wife's office around the time police estimate she was shot between 5:30 and 6:15 p.m. on November 3, 2014. Her view of him at the time was clear and unobstructed, and her concerns for her safety, based on his demeanor, forced her to pay close attention, the state argues. The defense also is asking Judge Scott Drzewski to hold a hearing on whether evidence gathered from searches of Zimmerman's home, car, and computer may be used against him. False and misleading statements repeated in the affidavits filed by the state to secure the search warrants render the information obtained through those searches inadmissible, according to the defense. In its filing in response to the defense claim, the state does not deny there was an incorrect statement made in those affidavits. The statement at issue is related to gunshot residue. While these results on Kirk Zimmerman's hands were not positive for primary gunshot residue, both samples, that is, swabbings from both hands, contained greater than zero particles related to primary gunshot residue. The defense has acknowledged crime lab results that indicate the gear shift handle of Zimmerman's car had contact with a gunshot residue-related item or was in the environment of a discharged firearm. Tests on the suspect's hands and gloves showed no contact with a discharged weapon, or if they did, then the particles were not deposited, were removed by activity or were not detected by the procedure, Rogers states in a motion. In a previous opinion, Drzewski ruled that Zimmerman's statements to police are admissible. The identification and search warrant issues are among multiple motions sent for argument on March 2nd and March 10th. A trial date has not been set for Zimmerman, who remains free on $2 million bond that requires him confined to his home. The next story is entitled Rauner lauds Heartland for its K-12 partnerships. School acknowledged for best practices by Government Journal. By Lenore Sabota. Normal. Partnerships like the one between Heartland Community College and K-12 school districts that give students a head start on college are a good way to maximize resources, the governor and lieutenant governor said Wednesday. Heartland programs that allow students to get college credit while still in high school and to identify any need for remedial work so they graduate prepared for college were lauded by Governor Bruce Rauner and Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti during a stop at the Normal campus. "We're here to clash the cymbals for them," said Sanguinetti. The college's efforts are included in the first Journal of Local Government Shared Service Best Practices. The journal was an outgrowth of the Local Government Consolidation and Unfunded Mandates Task Force, which Sanguinetti chaired. Heartland's program was among 27 best practices selected to be featured in the journal out of more than 230 responses to a survey of local government entities. They were chosen to highlight ways local governments can reduce duplication, improve services, and save taxpayer dollars through service consolidation and partnerships. "I am a huge advocate, and always have been, of partnerships," said Rauner. "Dual credit courses, which allow students to receive both high school and college credit for college-level courses, are offered by Heartland at several high schools at no additional charge to students. Initiatives like this help save students time and money," said Heartland President Rob Widmer. An example of that is Kirsten Peterson of Normal, a Heartland student and 2016 graduate of Normal Community West High School, who attended the event. Peterson said she will be able to graduate 1 year early from Heartland because of dual credit courses she took. "The level of success I'm having at Heartland can be directly traced back to my success in the dual credit courses in college now," she said. In addition, a program to begin this fall will allow selected students in McLean County Unit 5 to earn an associate's degree in computer science while in high school. Rauner said that program is a good example of preparing students for available jobs. He said programs like that make it more attractive for employers to come to Illinois because they want a well-trained workforce. In a meeting later with the Pantagraph's editorial board, Rauner said, "Education is my passion, and one reason he ran for governor was to improve education and create careers for everybody, not minimum wage jobs." Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel said during the news conference at Heartland, "Education is a critical building block of our economic development." The journal noted that Heartland provides resources for remedial education for students who need extra work to be ready for college. The Challenger Learning Center at Heartland also was cited for providing younger students in K-12 schools skills in math, science, technology, problem-solving, and critical thinking. Other best practices examples in the journal included a welfare-to-work program in Centralia Township involving the City of Centralia and its Public Works Department, the Urbana Aquatic Center, a joint venture between the Urbana School and Park Districts, and a police services agreement between the villages of Grace Lake and Hainesville. Sanguinetti said the Grace Lake-Hainesville agreement saves their communities $500,000 a year. She noted, Illinois has nearly 7,000 separate units of local government, more than any other state. Calling that number problematic, she said, those are a lot of hands in our pockets. But she also said consolidation isn't for everyone, but sharing personnel and equipment results in savings. The next story is entitled, Oh Baby, These Sisters Deliver. Area Siblings Give Birth One Day Apart, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. Kristen Werner's plan for Tuesday was to visit her sister, Lindsay Litwiller, and Lindsay's newborn daughter. I wanted to come up to hang out with them at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center, Kristen said. I never made it to their room. They ended up doing more than visiting, said Dr. Dan Nord, a longtime Twin City obstetrician gynecologist. Nord smiled on Wednesday as he looked down at Lindsay holding her new baby, Claire Elise, and Kristen holding her newborn, Gavin James Werner. Yes, Gavin made sure it was more than a casual visit. Kristen, 31, went into labor, and Gavin was born 7:48 p.m. Tuesday, the day after Claire was born to Lindsay, 30. Nord, who delivered both children and has been an obstetrician-gynecologist for 35 years, said it was the first time he provided care for sisters giving birth in the same hospital one day apart. I have never seen sisters deliver this close together at the same hospital, added OSF St. Joseph Birthing Center manager Renelle Composto. Gavin's due date was February 3rd, and Claire's due date was February 12th. Delivering at about the same time was not planned by the sisters and their husbands, Joel Werner and Luke Litwiller. But it was pretty cool that they were going through the same things at the same time during pregnancy, Luke said. The Litwillers, who live west of Bloomington, have an older daughter, Allison, who was 17 months old. We tried to help as much as we could because we've been through it before, Luke said. The Werners live in Bloomington. Claire was born at 9:26 a.m. Monday, weighed 7 pounds 15 ounces, and is 19 and a quarter inches long. What wasn't expected was for Kristen on Tuesday to never make it to Lindsay's room, but to immediately be admitted and deliver Gavin at 7:48 p.m. the same day. He weighed 8 pounds 14 ounces and is 21 inches long. I think it's great, Luke said. But it was kind of funny seeing everyone, family members and nurses, go back and forth between the rooms. As the two families, joined by Nord and maternal grandmother Stephanie Dagley of Leroy and Joel's mother, Joyce Werner of Bloomington, gathered in Kristen's room at St. Joseph on Wednesday, Nord looked at the big picture. Everyone is healthy, Nord said, and this has been great for family bonding. It was an all-around family experience. It's exciting that they went through this at the same time, Stephanie said. We couldn't have planned it any better. It's nice that the two sisters will have babies together, said Joyce Werner. They will help each other. The second story twist is that sonograms indicated that Gavin was not going to be Gavin. We were expecting a girl, Kristen said. We've had two baby showers with a lot of girl things, and the room is decorated for a girl. I love that pink. I guess we'll be redecorating. The next article is headlined, Snow Sneaks Up on Many in Central Illinois, by Kevin Barlow. Normal. Walking quickly through Uptown Normal on Wednesday morning, Illinois State University junior Ryan Mitchell wasn't wearing a coat and was wearing jeans cut off just below the knee. Yesterday I would have been comfortable, but today not so much, he said. Yesterday I believed in global warming. Today not so much. Yesterday I thought spring was on the way. Again, today not so much. Mitchell, like many others, was caught somewhat off guard by a winter storm system that dropped about 4 inches of snow in the Twin City area, the first measurable snowfall in a month. Sometimes forecasting snowstorms can be difficult, said Eric Laufenberg, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln. That was very true with a fast-moving system like this, which created just enough lift to drop more snow than what we originally expected. Forecasters on Sunday were predicting snow showers for Wednesday, but with each day, as the system moved closer, the snowfall forecast slowly increased. By the time snow began falling in downtown Bloomington after 8:30 a.m. Wednesday, the National Weather Service had issued a winter weather advisory with a chance for 2 to 4 inches. As the snow continued to fall, officials in Bloomington Normal considered if and when to initiate parking bans, which typically are enacted after 2 inches of snow are recorded, to make it easier to plow the streets. In Normal, no parked cars are permitted on any streets and must be moved off the streets to a driveway, garage, or parking lot. In Bloomington, parking is not allowed on snow routes, and residents are asked not to park on streets. This was a difficult decision because temperatures are expected to rise again on Friday, and the pavement temperatures were actually warm going into this event, said Bloomington Public Works Director Jim Karch. Quite a bit of the snow on side streets did melt already, so this was not as easy of a decision to plow the entire city as it normally is. The town of Normal initiated the ban about 1:30 p.m. Wednesday. Bloomington made the call about an hour later. Police departments for Bloomington, Normal, and McLean County reported a number of minor accidents and vehicles in ditches in rural areas. In Haworth, a school bus driver who had just finished her route was injured when her bus rolled over into a ditch before hitting a power pole at 2:23 p.m. at McLean County Roads 700 North and 1550 East. No students were aboard. School had been dismissed early because of the snow. The driver was taken to Advocate Broman Medical Center, Normal, with what appeared to be minor injuries, said Haworth Superintendent Lisa Taylor. She was pretty shook up and very worried about the bus, which should have been the least of her worries, Taylor said. The storm also caused a delay in a visit by Governor Bruce Rauner and Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti to Heartland Community College in Normal. It's dangerous out there, Rauner said after arriving about 15 minutes late. Before Wednesday, the Twin City area has recorded just 0.7 of an inch of snow since January 1st, making it the eighth least snowy January on record. Normally, about 7 inches are recorded that month. Historically, Bloomington Normal receives about 5.5 inches of snow in February. After the snowstorm clears, the forecast calls for a mostly sunny Thursday, though it will remain cold with a high of 25 degrees. Another warm-up arrives on Friday with a high near 50 that day, said the Weather Service. And here's a story entitled, Unit 5 Expects to Save Millions in Bond Refinance, by Julia Evelsizer. Normal. Taxpayers in McLean County, Unit 5, could save more than $6 million over the next 8 years through bond refinancing approved by the school board on Wednesday. The board agreed to issue up to $75 million in general obligation bonds to refinance bonds issued in 2008 for school construction and district-wide security upgrades. The district expects to see the interest rate fall from 5.4% to 2.5%. I'm very glad we locked that savings in now. That $6.2 million in interest savings is going to make a direct impact on taxpayers, said Unit 5 business manager Marty Hickman. It's not often the board can take a positive action towards finance like this. Hickman and Bob Lewis, a representative with PMA Financial Network of Naperville, presented the refinancing report to the board. It's similar to refinancing your home, said Lewis. The key difference is when you refinance a mortgage, you can do it at any time. Municipal bonds can't be paid until they are callable, a point where they can be redeemed before their maturity date. Lewis said the bonds would be in escrow for 15 months until the 2008 bonds are callable. The Normal Base District has considered the refinancing move for nearly 2 years, said Lewis, but it was waiting until the interest rates were lower and more stable. In other news, Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel announced Trevor Chapman, currently principal at Evans Junior High School, will take over as principal at Normal Community High School next year, succeeding retiring principal David Bowman. We have many challenges ahead in public education, and high schools tend to be the lighthouses. With that, we expect great leadership, said Daniel. As Dave has exhibited that, we also see that same fire in Trevor. Chapman has also served as associate principal at Evans and business education teacher at Normal West. He is married to Rita Chapman, who is a family and consumer science teacher at Normal Community High School, and they have 2 young daughters. I am thrilled to be a part of Normal Community staff and have the opportunity to serve the student body as building principal, said Trevor Chapman. The board also saw a first draft of the 2017-18 school calendar. The draft shows the first day of school on August 16th, a holiday break from December 22nd to January 8th, spring break March 26th to 30th, 2018, and the last day of class on May 23rd, 2018. There also was a first look at the 2018-19 calendar, which would have the first day of school pushed to August 22nd, 2018. The next story is entitled, Drug Arrests Net Cash, 14 Pounds of Pot, Three-Face Charges in Drug Operation Out of Normal Rental House, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. Three suspects face felony charges related to 14 pounds of marijuana and $29,000 in cash seized during an investigation by McLean County Sheriff's Police into what was described as a large-scale drug operation. Cameron McCormick, 24, of the 100 block of Kings Mill Road in Normal, is charged with unlawful possession of marijuana and calculated criminal drug conspiracy. The man, described by prosecutors as the primary in the organization, was jailed in lieu of posting $20,035. The operation allegedly was run from the rental home McCormick shared with his girlfriend, Gabriella Lavoie, 20, who faces similar charges. Lavoie was jailed in lieu of posting $5,035. A third suspect, Andrew Parker, 23, of Hoffman Estates, was charged Tuesday with delivery and possession of marijuana and criminal drug conspiracy. McLean County Sheriff John Sandage estimated the street value of the drugs at $42,000. In a statement read in court Wednesday, Assistant State's Attorney Jeff Horve said sheriff's detectives found evidence of a sophisticated drug business operating in the county, including packaging materials and a large amount of cash in the $1,100 a month rental home. He was making so much on drugs, he had a money counter in his room, said Horv. The defendants are due in court February 17th for arraignments. Here's a story entitled, District 87 OKs Money for BHS Band Uniforms, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. The Bloomington District 87 School Board on Wednesday approved spending up to $40,000 on new uniforms for the Bloomington High School Marching Band. The money will be spent over the next 2 to 3 years, according to Superintendent Barry Riley. The initial purchase is expected to be about $110,000, but future purchases are planned as the band grows. More than $90,000 already has been raised by the band parents group and a donation from State Farm, board members were told at their last meeting on January 25th. At that time, Riley said, "This is a more substantial request than we would typically get, but these are expected to last for a while." The current uniforms are 11 seasons old and were only guaranteed to last 6 to 8 years, according to band director Max Chermick. He told the board last month that the uniforms had lasted this long because the students and parents have taken good care of them, but it's time to make an investment. The uniforms will cost $427.77 each. About 250 uniforms will be purchased to account for different sizes among the students, explained Chernick. The band program has been continuing to grow, and it's going to be pushing a couple of hundred kids in the future, so more uniforms may be needed, Riley said at the last meeting. The uniforms will be machine washable, fairly lightweight, and comfortable, Chernick said. Among options being considered for the old uniforms are donating them to smaller schools or turning the jackets into pillows and selling them to alumni as a fundraising project, the board was told. In other action Wednesday night, the board approved the calendar for the 2017-18 school year. School will begin August 18th and end May 23rd, 2018. Spring break in 2018 will be March 26th to 30th. And here's an item entitled, "Fire Damages Apartment House, 9 Displaced," by Roger Miller. Bloomington. Fire damaged an older two-story house converted into apartments Wednesday evening on Bloomington's west side, displacing about 9 people, firefighters said. Firefighters were called at 7:20 p.m. to 812 West Washington Street, where flames could be seen on the west side of the building and smoke was coming out the windows and along the roof. There were no injuries, but the American Red Cross was called to assist 5 children and 3 or 4 adults, firefighters said. The cause and extent of the damage remained under investigation, firefighters said. The building had 2 apartments upstairs and 1 downstairs, said first-floor resident Ebony Coppage. She said she came home with 4 of her children to find her 13-year-old daughter, who was home alone, doing homework in a cold apartment. Soon after she turned up the heat, there was a burning smell, Coppage said. It smelled like incense, she said, noting the smell became more intense and then some sort of alarm started beeping. I said, "Everybody get out. The house is on fire." Her family dashed out to her minivan, she said, noting they fled so fast she left barefoot. Washington, between Allen and Howard Streets, was blocked during the firefighting effort. Normal firefighters also were called to the scene. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for February 9th. Please stay tuned.